Hello and welcome back. My name is Avi Heller, and together we are learning the Tractate of Megillah. This series of recordings is a project of the OU Department of Synagogue Services, OU Torah, and the Daf HaShavua Foundation. We are in Megillah Zayin Amud Aleph. That's 7a. So we're making some real progress here. We're done. We're almost done with our first Shabbos of Megillah. Okay, we are 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 lines down from the top. And we're entering some really interesting and fun agadata. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda. Rav Shmuel, the son of Yehuda, said, he tells a story. Shalcha lahem Esther lachachamim. Esther sent a letter or a correspondence to the sages, probably meaning the men of the great assembly. And what she said is she requested something of them. She said, Kivuni ledorot, establish me for all generations. In other words, establish the holiday of Purim for all generations. As we saw at the very end of our last recording, according to Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, in the beginning, they only established the holiday of Purim for Shushan, and it was not established for all the Jews all over the world. And the understanding here is that Esther then sought the approval of the men of the Great Assembly to have it be a holiday for all the Jews all over the world. Now Rashi says interestingly here, then when she says Kivuni, establish me, it's Li Yom Tov, as a festival. So we're wondering already whether or not Esther meant it to be like a festival where you can't do malacha, as we discussed in a previous recording. Should it be like a real yontif where you don't do work and you can't plant or write or cook, or whether it should not be? And then he says vilakriya, for reading the Megillah, and that's going to be relevant as we discuss later whether or not the controversy over whether or not the book of Esther should be included in Tanakh. And then he says liyot li l'shem, that it should be a name for me, because she says kivuni, me Esther. And we know that in the end of the Megillah, there were two letters that were written. One was written by Mordechai and Esther, and the second one was written only by Esther, which we talked about at the end of the last recording, Igeret HaPurim HaZot HaShenit, the second letter that was sent. And we saw two different interpretations of that. One was that it should be in the second month of Adar. That's why it's Hashenit, the second one. And the other was that the second letter was the one that established that Purim should be celebrated by all the Jews all over the world. And we seem to be going according to that interpretation right now. So Esther sends this letter. And if you want to see the verses, they're at the end of chapter 9 of the Megillah of Esther, verses 28 to 32. Okay, so the rabbi sent back to her. And I'm at the beginning of the next line. Shalchu la, they sent back to her, kina at me'oreret aleinu levein ha'umot. They objected to what she was saying. They said, kina, envy, you're going to awaken upon us among all the other nations. Now, they don't mean envy in the sense of other nations want to be like us. So what they really mean is some kind of anger or upsetness or zeal that the other nations will feel that we are constantly talking about how God destroyed them to our benefit. And they were nervous about this, you know, that we would cause a problem with the other nations by accentuating how Hashem destroys other nations for the benefit of the Jews. Shalcha lahem, she sent back to them, Kvar ketuva ani, I'm already written, al divrei hayamim lemalchei Madeu Faras, in the chronicles of the kings of Media and Persia. In other words, we're not revealing any secrets here. People already know what happened in the holiday of Purim. It's written in the chronicles of the secular kings. So there's no reason why we cannot say it as well. Now that's the end of the story here. And it becomes unclear what the resolution is, but they do not respond to her or reject her. So, and we do celebrate the holiday of Purim, so it seems like they accepted her argument. Now we have just a parenthetical footnote. Rav, v'Rav Chanina, v'Rav Yochanan, v'Rav Chaviva, these four rabbis, matnu b'kule seder moed, throughout the order of moed, which is all the tractates and seder moed, all the tractates about Shabbat and the holidays, kol, anytime, ki hai zuga, when you have this pair that they're going to mention in 1 second, chilufei Rabbi Yochanan, whenever it says Rabbi Yochanan, Uma'ail Rabbi Yonatan, they replace it with Rabbi Yonatan. You can see the possible confusion between Yochanan and Yonatan. So basically, throughout the order of Moed, they tend to replace the teachings of Rabbi Yochanan with that of Rabbi Yonatan. I'm not 100% sure why this is here, but it's just an interesting footnote. Okay, now we continue on the story of Esther. We have a similar teaching. Shalchalahem Esther. Esther sent back to the men of the great assembly, lachachamim, to the sages. And here she writes a little differently. Kitvuni ledorot. Above she said, kivuni, establish me. In other words, establish the holiday of Purim. Here she says, kitvuni, write me for all generations. And write me for all generations seems to mean put the book of Esther into the canon. Make it one of the 24 books of Tanakh. Shalchula, they sent back to her. Halo katavti lecha shalishim. What they do is they quote a verse from Mishle, from Shlomo HaMelech, from King Solomon. It's Mishle chapter 22, as you can see in the right margin, and it's verse 20. And he writes there, "Have I not written for you three times, shalishim?" Shalishim, say the rabbis, three times, v'lo ribeim, and not four times. Now, I'm not 100% sure why they associate this verse in Mishle with this, but what they're basically arguing is that Shlomo instructed that we should mention the need to eradicate the nation of Amalek three times in Tanakh. And they're saying three times is the limit. We'll do it three times, but not four times. So what are the three times? Rashi identifies them for us. There are two times in the Torah, once in Shemot chapter 17, once in Devarim chapter 25, Chaf Hei, which is what we read on Shabbat Zachor, and one time in the 15th chapter of the book of Shmuel, which is when Shaul HaMelech was supposed to wipe out Amalek and didn't do the job, and that's why he was deposed by God from being king. So we have three times, when twice in the Torah and once in the Navi, where it talks about wiping out Amalek, and the rabbis were telling Esther three times is enough, because Shlomo said we don't need a fourth time. Ad she matzu lo mikra. So this is how they felt until they interpreted another verse. Katuv baTorah, it's written in the Torah. This is in Shmot chapter 17, verse 14. Kitov zot zikaron basefer. The continuation of the verse says that you should wipe out the memory of Amalek. So it says, write this as a memorial in a book, that you should wipe out Amalek. So the rabbis interpret each one of these phrases. Kitov zot, you should write. Masha katuv kan uva Mishnah Torah. That means both the section in Shemot and the section in Devarim, because those are the Torah. Zikaron, as a memorial, masha katuv banaviim, what's written in the prophets. That means in the book of Shmuel. Basefer, in a book, masha katuv bamegillah, that's what's written in the Megillah. And then you have two mentions of wiping out Amalek in the Torah, one in the prophets and one in the writings. So each section of Tanakh has wiping out Amalek. And that's so that's their answer. And so then it sounds like they agreed that they would incorporate Esther as one of the holy books of Tanakh. The Gemara now mentions that there is a dispute about this that is recorded, that's not just between Esther and the sages, but a dispute among Tanaim. Kitanai, like a Tanaitic argument. One Tana reads it, Kitov zot masha katuv kan. So write this, the first phrase of the verse refers to the verse in Shemot. Zikaron masha katuv b'mishna Torah, as a memorial, that's the second phrase in the verse, refers to Devarim. Basefer masha katuv b'navim, and in a book, refers to the prophets, Divrei Rabbi Yeshua. So according to Rabbi Yeshua, you only have three times you can mention Amalek, and you have them. Twice in the Torah, once in the Nevi'im, and that's it. Rabbi Elazar HaModai says, Kitov zot ma shekatuv kan uve Mishneh Torah. He bundles both of the Torah mentions as one. Zikaron, as a memorial, ma shekatuv b'Nevi'im, what's written in the prophets. Basefer, ma shekatuv b'Megillah. And then, as Esther and the sages argued, in a book would be what was written in the Megillah. So it kind of just depends on whether or not you view the two mentions in the Torah as counting as one or as counting as two. That's as far as we're going to go today. In our next recording, we're going to go into a longer discussion about the question of whether or not Esther should be included as one of the books of the Tanakh, and it's discussing a little bit the other books of Tanakh also that were sometimes there was some controversy over whether or not they should be included. Have a wonderful day.